You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is back tomorrow. This month, about 200 people in Wisconsin were hospitalized with the flu, and yesterday there were reportedly 150 students absent from the Milwaukee suburb of Glendale this week with flu-like symptoms. And there are doubts about just how effective this year's flu vaccine may be compared with the strain of the flu that's going around. We'll find out if the flu shot helps and what to do if you come down with the flu. John Temte joins us now. He's a physician at UW Health who specializes in family medicine. He's also the chair of the U.S. Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. John, welcome to Central Time.
Well, good afternoon, Veronica. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Good.
Based on what you and other UW Health doctors have seen, how bad is the flu season so far this year?
Well, I think we are on the very beginning of a pretty bad outbreak. We're seeing more and more cases coming into clinics, and as you mentioned in your lead-in, we're seeing more and more absenteeism from school. And even to the extent I can say that I had one of my children home for a couple of days early this week.
What determines how bad a flu season is going to be?
That's a wonderful question, and it depends on a number of things. First, it depends on the strain of virus that's in circulation. And the virus that we're seeing most commonly this year is the type that tends to be the nastiest in terms of causing illness, complications of other medical problems, and even deaths. And so the particular virus is called influenza A H3. And this is one that we look for. The other strains, there's an influenza A H1 and influenza B. And those viruses tend to be a little less aggressive than this particular one. The other factor that's really important is how many people are vaccinated and how effective the vaccine is in a particular season.
Okay, so we've got a particularly nasty flu strain going around the season. So then the hope is that people go get vaccinated and they don't get the flu. But I've heard this year that the vaccine didn't quite hit the mark. What do we know about how effective the vaccine is?
Well, we always know much better about how effective the vaccine is after the fact. The way we determine that is looking as to how good it is about preventing influenza. That being said, when we have a mismatch between the vaccine and the circulating viruses, the vaccine tends to be less effective. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not effective. It does provide partial protection, but it's not as good as you have when you have a perfect match. And so if I go back to last year, if we look across the United States, and in particular, I always concentrate on the upper Midwest, but we had a match of about 98% between the circulating viruses and our vaccine. And this year, we're down in the high 60s or low 70s if we account for the partial match.
Okay, so in terms of coverage, let's say, you know, someone gets exposed to the flu, as we, you know, probably will sometime this winter. What do we know about how protected we'll be?
Well, first off, it depends what strain you're encountering. But what I can tell you is that from previous studies, we know even when there's a mismatch but some activity, we may become ill, but we probably won't get as sick as would be the case without that vaccine.
So people should still get the flu shot this year if they haven't. And if they have, you're saying they're going to have some coverage.
That's correct. And the thing to keep in mind is we have not reached the peak of influenza by any means yet. We're probably 2 or 3 weeks out yet. And once we hit the peak, it means that still 50% of the people who are going to come down with flu are yet to come down with it. And with that in mind, we still have time to offer some protection for people by getting the influenza vaccine at this point in time if they haven't been already vaccinated.
How long does it take after you get the shot or the mist before you start to have some protection?
Typically, 14 days after immunization, you're up to full protection.
Now, we've heard about 200 people being hospitalized statewide. This was back in December, let's see, December 10th, I think it was, so it's possible those numbers have climbed. People hospitalized with the flu. What kinds of things necessitate going to the hospital when you have the flu? Because most of us think, you know, it's like a really bad cold. You probably won't end up in the hospital. What do we need to look out for?
Well, with the last report from my colleague over at the Department of Health Services, we're up to 276 patients as of last Friday. But the things that will bring people into the hospital typically are high fevers and difficulty breathing. Influenza can cause a direct viral pneumonia in and of itself. But in particular, we see complications of pre-existing medical conditions. So our patients who have underlying lung disease, our patients with underlying heart disease, are particularly prone to complications, as are people with immune problems and people with neurological conditions. The other group I really have to point out is pregnant women, because influenza and pregnancy just does not mix very well.
How come?
Well, the whole process of pregnancy alters the immune system, and pregnant women are much more prone to very aggressive influenza illness compared to their colleagues. And we know that with infection, there are significant adverse outcomes. For example, there was a great study done in the United Kingdom right after the pandemic went through. This was 2009 and 2010. And there was, for women who were pregnant and infected with flu versus those that were not, there was about a five-fold increase in stillbirth, in preterm birth, and in perinatal mortality or death of that newborn in the immediate period after being born. So those are huge numbers, and those are things that we think we can reduce through good vaccination policy.
Well, so those are some scary things you just said there, especially about pregnant women and flu. So let's say you are pregnant, you're listening, you've taken your advice, you've gone and gotten your flu shot. What can you do to protect yourself from not picking it up in the first place?
Well, you hit something very important here. A lot of women who are pregnant also have young children at home. And young children are wonderful about picking up influenza viruses at school or daycare and bringing it back home. So the first important thing is making sure you're immunized if you're pregnant. We recommend that across the board for all pregnant women. Second of all, because we know that we have less than a perfect match this year, that if somebody does come down with flu-like symptoms, and for simplicity, we normally indicate a flu-like symptom is a fever and a cough or a sore throat. But if those are the cases, it is very reasonable to contact your physician or your other healthcare provider. At least talk to them over the phone to see what they would suggest. If people are significantly ill, starting an antiviral medication very early on in the illness can really speed up the recovery. It can reduce the illness, and it may reduce the complications.
Should everybody do that?
Well, if we follow the guidelines from Centers for Disease Control and the real experts out there in influenza, we don't think everybody needs treatment. It really has to be guided by who the person is, how sick they are, and what other medical problems they might have. And so, for example, the American College of Gynecologists and Obstetricians has a good guideline for management of patients who have flu-like symptoms and are contacting them. Typically, we would suggest that treatment would be warranted for most women who are pregnant and who have influenza.
And as far as getting that antiviral treatment or something like Tamiflu, is it ever too late to start taking it?
Well, unfortunately, there are some pretty set timelines with this drug. When it is started extremely early in the case of influenza, it can be very effective. In the course of my medical career, I've had the opportunity to do this a number of times. I watch for influenza. I know when it's out there. I recognize it. And I have the technology in my clinic to test for it very rapidly. But when I do this very early on, we have wonderful effects. However, if you get past 48 hours, the benefit of that drug really drops off. Where it's very hard to determine any benefit. The one exception, though, is for patients who are hospitalized. And even if they've been ill for more than 48 hours, recommendations are to at least give the medication a try. It's inexpensive, it's very non-toxic, it doesn't cause a whole lot of side effects, and it may give some benefit.
We're talking about this year's flu season with John Tempty. He's a physician at UW Health who specializes in family medicine. He's also the chair of the U.S. Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. We're talking about flu season here in Wisconsin, taking a look at this year's flu vaccine and how well it's working. And we're also trying to get a handle on what to do when the flu strikes. And we'd like to hear from you. Have you gotten hit with this year's flu? How is it affecting your life or your holiday season? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post at the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing with John Tempty, a physician at UW Health who specializes in public health. And we'll go to our first call. Now, Danny is joining us in Toma. Hi, Danny.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I was curious. I've never had the flu. I'm 60 years old, and I've never been vaccinated for the flu either. Is it possible that I'm immune to it?
Well, I'm not sure if you're immune to it or not, but everyone handles infections differently. And there are a handful of people who get along just fine without ever being immunized. I'm not sure if they're more effective at avoiding infection or if there's something else going on. We do know, however, that individuals who are carrying antibodies from flu infections dating back decades sometimes are protected. For example, during the 2009-2010 pandemic of H1N1 that we all heard about, people who were age 55 and older had very, very little illness, and it's because they may have had a mild case of flu back in their childhood days when this virus was circulating previously.
Well, thanks a lot for your call, Danny. Appreciate that. Lucky guy, never really gotten the flu, which makes me wonder if some of us have had the flu, but we don't really know that we have the flu. So as far as this season's flu strains, what are the symptoms to look out for? How do we know that we're not just getting another cold?
Well, it's very interesting. First of all, when I'm talking to patients, there are two questions I always ask. One is, when did this illness start? And if they are kind of hem and haw and say, oh, it 2 or 3 or 4 days ago, it's likely not influenza. If they tell me it was 2:30 on Sunday afternoon, that's a pretty good indication. Flu influenza tends to hit very hard when it starts. There's a release of a lot of inflammatory compounds in your body that just make you feel awful. That being said, the other question I often ask is, who were you around 2 or 3 days before your illness started? And were you around anybody with similar symptoms? And when they say, yeah, I was around somebody with symptoms like I have, that's a pretty good indication as well, because the incubation period is anywhere from about 1 to 3 days. What we're seeing this year, a lot of cough, sore throat, and fever. And along with that, there certainly can be muscle aches, just feeling dragged out. The term we use is malaise. And certainly nasal congestion and discharge. So a lot of symptoms, but the things that we typically go off of is that fever, and typically fever is over 100 degrees, and a cough and or sore throat.
Feeling pretty miserable.
Exactly.
Okay, well, thanks to Danny. We move on to Paige in Walworth. Hi, Paige.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering, I know there's a lot of strains out there, and it's guesswork on what to include in the shot. And I was wondering, if it wasn't one of those strains, is it possible that that one of the strains that was in the shot is helpful to other strains. I mean, by getting a flu shot, would it be helpful to one of the strains that isn't in the flu shot?
That's a great question. And I'll start out by saying that in about March every year, the World Health Organization and CDC get together and try and determine which viruses should go into the vaccine. So we're making decisions back in the early spring for what's going to be happening in October, November, and December the following year. So a lot can happen between then and now. But we look at what's going in circulation at the end of the flu season. We also look at what's happening in the Southern Hemisphere during the start of their flu season, which typically is going to be in May and June, and make decisions. But and I can also say that most of the time, the people who make decisions get it right. This year, we've seen this different virus, a drifted or one that has a little bit different genetics than what was in the vaccine. But immunization with the current vaccine will give some partial protection for this other strain of virus. So you're absolutely correct there. It's not as good as a perfect match, but it will likely reduce symptoms, hopefully keep people from not being as sick as they may have been in the past.
Well, thanks a lot for that call, Paige. And we've got a comment here from Barb on Facebook who says, had it last week, brutal, but now I'm immune and good to go. Is that right, once you've had it, say, this year, that you're immune for the rest of the season or maybe forever?
Well, yes and no. You're immune for the strain that you became ill with. However, right now we have in circulation and co-circulation, we have two varieties of A viruses and two varieties of Bs. And typically in Wisconsin, we'll tend to see the influenza A viruses hit early, and often influenza B is much later in the season, typically seeing them in February, and sometimes even as late as May. And because right now I could make a pretty good guess that Barb was sick with influenza AH3, that's not going to offer a whole lot of protection 2 months from now if we're seeing a resurgence of influenza B.
Oh, boy. So no get-out-of-jail-free cards with the flu, huh?
Unfortunately not. It's a very interesting virus, and unfortunately, it's one that carries a lot of significant problems. You know, unfortunately, so far this season, we have had 7 deaths reported in children across the country, and that's always such a tragedy.
Well, I want to ask you about that. We've seen a lot of absences in Wisconsin schools. I've just been hearing anecdotally this morning that some local schools had 2 kids show up in the classroom that day. If your child goes to one of these schools where the flu is sweeping through, should you keep them home preventatively?
Well, that's a good question. Usually by the time you have a lot of absenteeism, it's pretty well circulated through everybody. And when I say we, my research team and I are monitoring absenteeism in the Oregon School District, and we get a daily feed of information. And as of Monday and Tuesday this week, so just the last 2 days, influenza-like illnesses just exploded in that school district. And I think that's true across the state, just watching the news this morning from Milwaukee and some communities further north. But that being said, recommendations out there, well, first of all, understanding how flu is transmitted is very important. So this is a disease or an infection that's spread by droplets. It's a cough or it's a sneeze. And to have that transmitted, you have to be within 3 or 4 feet of somebody who is actively coughing and sneezing. If there was somebody in a room and coughed and sneezed, you know, a minute ago when you walk in, you're not at risk. But if you are the sad recipient of the droplets from somebody's cough or sneeze, it's very, very contagious like that. And so things like good hand washing, people who are ill really doing a good job of covering a cough and sneeze, or even to the extent of wearing a face mask when you're in and around sick people can make a big difference.
And we have to leave it there. Dr. Temte, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure, and good luck.
Dr. John Temte is a physician at UW Health who specializes in family medicine. He's also the chair of the U.S. Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices.